Listen, CPS says Monday all of the grade schoolers are supposed to come back. Preschoolers and some students have been back already. The teachers, if you listen to the union heads, do not want to come back. They do not feel it is safe. You may have read the story about it in the Tribune this morning. Janice Jackson did. Just before this show, I asked her about it. I asked her, okay, Janice, where are we today?
This morning, I am disappointed to see the House of Delegates vote last evening, where they're basically asking teachers if they would want to institute a strike. We, as a school system, are very interested in reaching an agreement with them. That's been our posture throughout this process. We've hosted over 60 meetings with them. What they are essentially proposing is to close schools, which would leave thousands of families that have opted for in-person learning out in the cold. And we think that this is a breach of their contract, and I don't think that they have the legal authority to do that. And so it's really disheartening.
Still, a letter by 47 mm-hmm. aldermen was yeah. signed, which said let's not go back into the classrooms. 37% of the students have opted to return, but only 37%. So it does seem like there's a lot of people out there that don't think we should go back into the classroom.
What we have proposed is not to fully reopen our schools. We are offering an option for families in CPS. CPS is a large district. It's a very diverse school system. And there are families, 77,000, that have opted for an in-person learning option. Now, let's keep in mind what that scale means. You threw out a couple of percentages earlier, but 77,000 is twice the size of the second largest school district in Illinois. Okay, so we're talking about two Elgin school districts have opted for in-person instruction here in Chicago. I'm hearing parents say, I can't assist my child. They're not learning in this environment. I heard from essential workers, a mom who's a nurse, who says that she has to stay home to facilitate learning throughout the day with her children and then go and work in the evening. And that family time that they used to be able to have with each other is no more. Those individuals and families who feel they're not ready to send their kids back to school, we're going to continue mm-hmm. to offer remote learning and improve that. But we also have to give our families that need an in-person option a choice.
I want to read to you a quote in the Tribune this morning from the mm-hmm. Union Financial Secretary, Maria Moreno, who said, mm-hmm. are you kidding me? You, that is the school district, does not have a plan for how to close down a pod or a school, and now you have more of our members getting infected. Do you have mm-hmm. a plan, a metric by which you will know if a school or a classroom needs to be closed?
Yes, our school system has been publishing COVID cases for months now. I do want to remind people that we've had thousands of employees working in schools since March. We've had the entire lunchroom staff. We've had custodians. We've had security officers, principals, assistant principals, clerks. So we're talking about tens of thousands of people that have been going into our schools since last year. And in fact, some teachers who were teaching from the classroom. We publish that data because we think transparency is important. But we also want to make sure people understand that there is research that shows that schools are not the super spreader sites that we thought they were going to be back in the spring, and that we have put out metrics and protocols whereby we close pods or classrooms or even a school if there are multiple cases of COVID throughout the building. We haven't had that yet. We've invested over $100 million to do this, but the fact remains that children in Chicago, tens of thousands of them, have been going to school in our private and Catholic schools, in early learning centers, since the summer. We can do it in CPS, and we've been proving with the reopening of schools since last week that it can be done in CPS.
Let me tell you what Stacey Davis-Gates said yesterday. We want a plan for testing, vaccinations, and an mm-hmm. actual health metric. Let's talk about the three of those.
Okay.
Will there be regular testing of the faculty, staff, or students?
There is already regular testing. Again, that was something that the union pointed out last summer. We're testing at schools every week. Employees can be tested. First of all, they can be tested at city sites at any time, but they can be tested at their schools weekly. It's also important to note that many people are opting not to take those tests, but we will still offer it if they want to increase the amount of testing.
Who are the
That's
people?
Something that we're open to do.
Who's not taking the tests?
some of the teachers are declining it. It's on our website.
Okay, but at the University of Illinois, the infection rate at that campus where there are tens of thousands of students with in-person learning, the infection rate is 0.36%.
Yes. Yep.
It's 0.36%, but they test the students, every student, two or three times a week, and then they remove them immediately, even if they're asymptomatic, if they test positive. And that's how they've kept it down, with regular testing.
And we, and our testing plan, John, if I could cut in, we have a similar testing plan. Now, they actually are testing more frequently. We're open to have those debates. I mean, we agree to the testing plan that was put forward by the union, so there's no disagreement there. And if the union said to me today, we would want to see an increase in the amount of testing, we would say, absolutely, let's make it work. These are not barriers. It's about 2,200 employees that received letters yesterday that noted that they would get first priority to receive the vaccine. So that has started. We're also working with the Chicago Department of Health to start vaccinating our teachers in the coming weeks. We'll be making a big announcement about that soon.
I want to just go back for a minute to testing, though. So you said some of the teachers are opting not to get tested, but the reason it's working at the U of I is because the students are the ones that are getting tested, and that protects the teachers.
Yep.
Do you have a plan to test students more than once a week?
Right now, we have focused on adults, but we are working to build a plan to test students. That is absolutely something we would want to do. We should also note that these at University of Illinois, those students are adults, and CPS parents would have to give permission for their kids to be tested, but that is absolutely something that we're working on,
but
is going to be a part of our plan.
Is it possible, though, then, to say, with the vaccines in the offing, let's wait another month or two? We've already waited nine or ten.
It won't be a month or two for vaccinations. Let's talk about I'm sure you've been reporting on the issues related to vaccinations across the country. If we knew that we could vaccinate everybody in a week or so, that would be a logical argument. It's going to take us months in order to vaccinate. First, we have to vaccinate the individuals that are already in high risk areas. We have to vaccinate over 40,000 people in Chicago public schools. I don't know how many vaccines the city receives on a regular basis, but I know they're trying to, prioritize, different people. And so if we had ubiquitous access to vaccines, this would be a non-issue. That's not the case. But the district has been advocating mightily with the city's Department of Public Health to prioritize CPS teachers, and that's what they have committed to doing.
Can you review for us the metric then by which you will decide if a classroom or a school needs to be closed?
When cases arise in the school, multiple cases in a pod and multiple cases in a classroom, we will close those pods and close the classrooms. If we see multiple cases across the school where through contact tracing it is noted that this, spread is happening within the school, we will close the school as a result of that. I'm happy to report we've been open with thousands of students and teachers. We have not had to close a single school.
But previously you all said that it was not a percent but a doubling rate, right? That you knew that if you bring students and faculty back, the kids and people will get infected, and the metric was going to be the rate by which the number doubles. Do I remember that correctly?
I think you're conflating two different issues. The first question you asked about what would constitute closing a classroom or a school. When we start talking about doubling rates, that's a separate issue around community spread. So do we look at positivity rates or do we look at doubling rates? The doubling rate has dropped dramatically, as has the positivity rate, not only here in Chicago, but in the state of Illinois. I think yesterday the state of Illinois was at 7% or less than 7%, and it's been on a steady decline since we've gotten past the holiday bump. So again, all of these metrics matter. I'm not a medical professional, so I don't want to debate the efficacy of one over the other. But no, I just want to finish my point. I don't want to debate the efficacy of either. But what I will say is all of them are trending down.
But I think what people want to hear is, okay, 7% or 5% or 4.5%. Give us a number in a classroom or in a school, and then if it's above that, at least now we know what we're shooting for. You said multiple cases, but that sounds vague.
Our documentation around case spreads in schools are clear. If you go on our website, we've listed every single school and the number of cases. There are no schools with multiple cases. I don't think there's a single school that has had over two cases at the same time. So you can take a look at that. That's factual.
Not one single school in CPS has had more than two cases of COVID-19 at the same time?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can go on our website and take a look.
I have one last question for you, Janice. the students don't turn on the cameras. Can the school district mandate that the students have to turn on the cameras for remote learning?
Yeah, we've gone back and forth on that one. I think, you know, I've never taught in a remote environment. I can imagine what that feels like when kids don't have on cameras. But what we've also learned from many of our students and families is that not everyone's home situation is the same. Okay, so the reality of what, you know, my learning space may look like compared to some of my peers is completely different. And so out of respect for our students and families, we've tried to kind of walk a line on what that looks like. But I think your question gets to a bigger issue, which is around student engagement. And so what we have seen, and the camera is probably just one piece of a larger situation, we have seen fewer students enroll in schools, fewer students attend school daily, and we've seen an exponential jump in the number of students failing classes, especially at the high school level. And again, this all, I think, makes the case as to why we need to, you know, begin a plan for our kids returning back to school, because this current situation is not sustainable.
If you lock out teachers' access to Google Classroom, then did you kick them out or did they go on strike? I wonder where the burden is going to be in this case.
Well, right now, I think the burden is, you know, I'm not here to assess blame. I think the facts are clear. The union has taken a vote to authorize a strike. Their rank and file will have an opportunity to weigh in on that in the next couple of days. But if members refuse to report to work, that is a refusal to work. That is a strike. That is a breach of their contract. And it also is not a legal strike. The Illinois Labor Board ruled, as you might recall, last month that they could not strike on that. There's another hearing coming up in a week or so. And so this would, in effect, be an illegal strike, which is why I think the union is dancing around what they're trying to call this. It's, in effect, a strike.
What does that mean to the teacher if it's an illegal strike?
I don't want to weigh in on that. I think that I think the union has directed their teachers and they'll make a decision based on what they think is right.
Janice Jackson is the CPS CEO. We had that conversation just before we went on the air today. Stay tuned for more details. Boy, we got to get those teachers the vaccine, don't we? And we've got to get the students tested regularly. Why would you not take the test? Why would you not get the vaccine?